Our listeners may be wondering in such a short period of time how I went from this hiding and lying and not being completely truthful to where we're now being sexual again. That became possible when real recovery began for me. Recovery for you and me, for our marriage, didn't begin until I saw your pain. And I would dare say that if I had not seen your pain, we wouldn't have been able to get started on our own personal recovery process.
Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography, but through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are so glad that you have joined us again this week for Beyond Broken Vows podcast. We are your hosts, Johnny and Emily Spiegelmeyer.
Hello, everybody. We hope you had a wonderful Easter celebration, and we're really excited to share this show with y'all today.
Yes, today is going to be a good show because, you know, we ended our last two shows a little bit on a bleak note.
Right. I mean, first I told my story. Then you told your story.
Yes.
And it wasn't that happy of a story.
No, not uplifting. And that's a little bit on purpose. We kind of designed it that way because that's the nature of the progression. Things start out well.
Mm-hmm.
And then things creep in.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, when they get married, thinks that their life is just going to be beautiful and perfect and just all filled with joy. And of course, the vows contain for better or for worse, but we don't really think about the worst part then, do we?
Right.
That comes later, and it came later for us. And even through it, we really did strive to have the best marriage possible. It's just that the cards were stacked against us with addiction involved.
Emily, you mentioned for better, for worse. You and I were just talking this morning about the idea of in our marriage and in our vows, when we talk about for better, for worse, we all start out in this place that we view to be better. We get married and we're in that better place. And then the worse comes. What you and I were discussing is that unless we experience the worse part and learn how to overcome that together and make the choice to move forward, we don't get another better again.
Yeah, that's right. And I do remember that we went through a lot of things that other couples that we saw around us, those things were taking them out, whether it was financial difficulties or relational difficulties, parenting
right.
difficulties, whatever the difficulties are, we overcame those together and we felt like we were stronger on the other side of it.
Yes, I think a great way to say it is the for better, for worse is you go from better to worse to a better, better.
Right. Yes, because we were better afterwards of having gone through it together. And I think that doing that all through our marriage, even though it was broken under the surface and we didn't really even know it or see what was really going on.
Right.
Those triumphs we had over those other difficulties gave us this foundation where I feel like we were able to survive this huge crisis in our marriage. We had trained ourselves to look to the other side while we're in the midst of it, knowing that difficulty would not last forever. I remember many occasions thinking, this is hard, but I know on the other side, I want a good marriage. And so that's what I'm striving for.
Yes. And you and I, we did put in some of the hard work in the beginning. I'd say the first thing that we did was listen to what our premarital counselor told us, who was the pastor that married us. He gave us some great words to move forward, and we made the choice to put those into practice.
Yeah, we did. We worked on the things that he told us to work on and be mindful of in our first year of marriage, and I think that set a pattern for the rest of our married life.
Right. I completely agree. And we also did some marriage conferences. And those are really good. And it reminds me of something I was kind of thinking about. You and I've talked this over a couple of times. Me being not just a landscaper, but I'm a certified organic gardener with our local authorities. And as such, I learned a lot about organics. And here's the point I'm getting to. I learned through my organics program that folks tend to spend $20 on a plant before they will spend a dollar on the dirt that it goes into. When the dirt that that plant goes into is where all the good stuff happens. That's where the roots are. That's where the roots take in their nourishment.
Right. Yes.
And so if we can do that in our marriages, you and I have talked about before that we've observed how much people will spend on their wedding day, the financial investment into the thousands and thousands of dollars, but then they won't follow it up with a few hundred dollars to go to a marriage conference or to get counseling when needed because it may seem embarrassing.
Yeah, it's it's something that it's like, uh-oh, that means something's wrong and we don't want there to be anything wrong. We don't want other people to see anything is wrong. And it really prevents folks from getting the help that's needed before something really breaks.
Right. And as an organic gardener, I'm trained to feed that plant the food that it needs before it starts to have a problem, knowing that it needs to be fed. And in the same way, our marriages need to be fed.
Totally agree, Johnny. That's a good analogy. So friends, you may be thinking right now that you want to stay married, but you don't know if you and your spouse can overcome the devastation of your covenant that was broken by sexual betrayal. You can't imagine your marriage surviving the fallout of this traumatic event. Well, we want you to know that you can't do this on your own. You need help.
You know, our coaching program, Beyond Betrayal Breakthrough, will help you and your spouse navigate the pain of betrayal and the feelings of shame, guilt, unworthiness, abandonment, and rejection that threaten to overwhelm you and your spouse. We're going to show you how to surrender it all to Jesus and give you strategies to help you set healthy boundaries, open up lines of honest communication, navigate emotional challenges, and rebuild trust so you can move forward into the new marriage God desires for you.
Yes, so head on over to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com right now so we can help you get unstuck and on the path of healing and recovery so that you can experience the wonder of what God has in store for your marriage. Again, that's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. And hopefully, y'all have heard both sides of our sexual intimacy story, or lack thereof, in episodes 45 and 46.
If you have not, we encourage you to go back and listen to those two episodes to gain a better understanding of how we got to the place where our broken marriage got new life after God intervened and recovery began.
Yes, and now we share a wonderfully intimate sexual life together, but it wasn't easy getting here. On today's show, we're going to run down the progression of our sex life from Discovery Day,
when I admitted to my infidelity.
Right. And Disclosure Day,
when I confessed regular porn use and extramarital relationships.
All the way to recovery and our current emotionally safe and sexually satisfying marriage.
That sounds great. I'm so looking forward to this.
Yeah, but before we get into that, Johnny, would you pray for us?
I will. Father, thank you so much for bringing us to this place from brokenness to healing, from a lack of really any clue of what to do to a greater understanding of what sexual intimacy is. Thank you, Father, for bringing Emily and I both to the point where we have the strength and the courage to share our journey with those who listen. So we pray, Father, that as we give this to you, that those who have it in their heart and in their ears to hear this message, that it will be meaningful and helpful to them and give them, Father, some hope in their journey as they move forward. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So let's dive in. The last two episodes, we had done a progression through our early years, middle years, and later years.
Yes.
As far as it related to our sexual intimacy.
Or lack thereof.
Yes, or lack thereof. So now we're going to today go through a progression of what our sexual life has looked like since Discovery and Disclosure all the way to now, 5 years later.
Right. That's right.
And so in the beginning, right after Discovery, which was when you admitted to me that you had basically a one-night stand with a woman, but you did not have intercourse.
Correct.
That was the discovery statement that you gave me. And that was pretty traumatic for me, of course.
Right.
And I was pretty upset, asked some questions, found out you had been doing some lying to me, that it maybe was an ongoing, at least emotional affair. And so we did a lot of talking, and there were a couple of times in there over the next week that we had some very intense makeup sex on steroids events.
Right.
I think that was, on my part, out of fear of losing you. It was out of jealousy that you were with somebody else and just trying to hang on to you and really feel like you were mine. And so that was just like this really intense activity that we had a couple of times.
Right. You were trying to hold on to me, reclaim maybe what was lost. And from my side of the story, I was really just trying to maintain that connection. And hopefully we could get through it like we did before. In that moment, I didn't consciously feel those feelings or have those thoughts. But through recovery, I've been able to go back and dissect that period of time and know that by engaging with you in those intense times, even though I wasn't being completely honest and truthful with you yet, it was a way of trying to cover up still for what I had done so that you didn't find out anything else about the rest of my life.
So the rest of your life came to light about a week after that. 2 weeks after discovery is when you sat down with me and our pastor and disclosed pretty much your entire sexual history, which included regular pornography use and 3 extramarital relationships.
Yeah, that's right. And that brought the highly intense sexual experiences to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I did. No touchy.
Went from sexual relationship we were sharing before discovery to this really intense place to wham, it's done.
It's, yeah, nada.
With really no sense of hope for there being a future sexual relationship again. Why? Because it just closed in around us. How could this be possible?
Yeah, there was so much pain, denial, sadness, and confusion, mm-hmm. all of those things. And sex was the last thing that I wanted to attempt to talk about or do with you like ever again.
Right. There was a little bit of denial, I think, for each of us. As I remember, you were having some denial that sounded a little bit like, this can't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my story.
Right.
And me, my denial was that it's not that bad. We can work through it and we'll get back on track again here in a short period of time.
And it didn't turn out that way.
It did not.
No, but we did try to have sex again.
Right.
We tried a couple of months later because there had been some healing and some openness on your part. And I decided that it was time to try. And that was on our first Valentine's Day.
That's right. Yeah. And we shared a show about that around Valentine's Day. And if you want to go check out that episode, we'll remember to drop that into related episodes in the show notes.
So that was a wonderful evening, actually. I was not triggered enough to make it a bad experience. And you were just very caring and loving towards me. Then the next morning, you admitted that you had done some lying again.
Well, yeah, because you asked me some pretty pointed questions, and there was no way for me to get out from underneath them. There was no story that was going to be believable. So, yeah, I gave you my answer, and it was inconsistent with an answer that I had given you previously.
So then again, sex was off the table.
Doors closed again.
And in fact, you were back in the guest room.
Yeah. And sexual intimacy is not occurring when a husband and wife are in separate rooms.
That's right. So we then started on our journey of recovery after that.
Which really, for us, was the therapy that we started going to. And the 5-day intensive that we went through is really where recovery was starting to begin.
And you also had joined Sex Addicts Anonymous and were trying to figure out if you were going to stick with that first group or not.
And now we're moving into this area where we're beginning to be sexual again, but we have triggers.
Lots and lots of triggers. on my part especially. And that is so very scary.
It is.
And vulnerable. I felt very exposed. Comparison just haunted me because I had all these images of these other women, and I knew one of them was much younger. I just felt very much not enough. And I call them the ghosts because we could be enjoying some real special connection, and all of a sudden, the ghosts would come and invade my mind. And sometimes I just started crying.
Yes.
And you were really good about just stopping and holding me if I wanted you to. Most of the time I did. And letting me have my emotions, letting me process through it. And I really didn't want that to ruin what we were doing because I knew those were things from the past. They seemed very fresh for me because I had just found out not so many months ago about these things. So it seemed like it had just happened on my part, but they really were things from the past and they weren't still happening. So I knew I wanted to continue to work towards that connection and that intimacy with you, regardless of the triggers.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you brought that up about no new event was occurring. It was based on the past that was already there, still wrestling with it. The ghosts are coming back. And I'm so grateful for the wisdom that our senior pastor shared with us in that sense, that when you were letting him know that the triggers are just so intense, and he's asking you, but is this new stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to admit, no, this isn't anything new. And we can find a place to praise God in the middle of that.
Right.
And understand that this is old stuff that still hurts, and that's still reasonable and legitimate.
Yes, absolutely. And you were so good about not saying, aren't you over this yet? Or
so not helpful, by the way.
No. Or how long is this going to take you to get through? I really am so grateful that you realized early on that this is something that it's going to take as long as it takes.
Right. So, Emily, our listeners may be wondering in such a short period of time how I went from this hiding and lying and not being completely truthful to where we're now being sexual again, but with triggers. And as you and I were talking over that part of the progression, that became possible when real recovery began for me.
And so what does that mean, real recovery, Johnny? I know that you had started your recovery group.
Right.
And you had actually gone to a different group that you really felt at home with. And so recovery, quotey fingers, looked like it was happening. But what do you mean by recovery actually beginning?
There is the recovery that started early on when I started attending regular groups. And that was its beginning. But recovery for you and me, for our marriage, didn't begin until I saw your pain.
Yes.
And I would dare say that if I had not seen your pain, we wouldn't have been able to get started on our own personal recovery process. And as we have experienced with a few of the men that we are coaching with now, this is a real sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
Their wives are telling us that they don't feel safe yet, and they can't really understand why. But what they're expressing to us is, I just don't feel like he sees how hurt I am and the way that I hurt.
It's imperative for the betrayer to put themselves in the betrayed shoes. Until they can do that, it's extremely difficult to get beyond that pain into healing for the betrayed.
I agree.
She needs to feel, and we're talking about she in this instance because that's our story, but she needs to feel that he sees her pain and that he's broken about the pain that he has caused her. When she can see and feel that honest remorse for how much he has hurt her, that does start a healing process in her heart.
That's right. And we have talked on other episodes about worldly sorrow that speaks a language like, I just feel really bad that I got caught and I'll do what it takes to get out of trouble.
And that's not what you vocalize, but that's how you feel inside.
Correct.
You can actually be saying all the right words, but not backing it up with anything concrete.
Right.
Not anything that you're feeling in your heart. It's all in your head.
That's right. Which then moves us to godly sorrow. And scripture tells us it's godly sorrow that brings about repentance. And repentance is a 180 turn from where you were and a move forward at the same time. It's both.
And you know what? I think it's a really good marker of recovery when the betrayer feels the pain that he's caused his spouse.
And can adequately verbalize that to his spouse to where she feels like he understands. Is that about right?
Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that the level of repentance correlates with the level of empathy he has for his spouse.
Well said. I agree completely.
So then, Johnny, as we moved on, continuing to try to have sexual intimacy, these triggers over time, they did lessen. It took a while, and sometimes they still popped up pretty intensely.
About how long would you feel that that period was?
I feel like it was probably a good 2 years before I was able to really manage the triggers, you know, process it and get rid of them pretty quickly. And then after the 2 year mark, they started to come less frequently and less intensely. Then they started to be fairly non-existent during year three. And we were starting to have such a rich experience discovering each other again, because, you know, I used to think that we had intimacy, but it was all one-sided. This is where I feel like our marriage became brand new. Being married to a sex addict, I think we probably tried everything that there is to try with just two people involved.
Right.
We were very adventurous in the beginning years. And then, of course, with your experience of what you had seen, you know, we tried a lot of things. And so we thought we knew it all.
Right.
But after we got through a lot of our healing process and we started to really enjoy coming together sexually again, God showed us so many new things that we never experienced before. We never even knew existed before. And it was just really fun because we were just like, wow, God. I mean, it was amazing that he could still show us so much newness.
And I think that this was the period of time that you and I first started expressing that we don't have a restored marriage. We have a new marriage.
Right. It just felt so new because everything that we experienced seemed brand new. Like, I didn't ever feel that before. I never knew that before. The way we were relating was so new. You were looking into my eyes and seeing me. And I was actually seeing you see me.
Right. And it's very important.
Yes. And that connection became really more important than the actual sexual act for us. Just the desire to be connected through our hearts, through our eyes, through physical touch was something that I think both of us found to be just as satisfying, if not more so, than sexual intercourse.
I absolutely agree, because from my side of the equation here, I was experiencing very satisfying sexual activity with you without even having a release.
Yeah, and it could go like 3 or 4 events without you having to have a release.
Right. And because we were starting to discover true intimacy, and that started playing out through our sexual life, really the orgasm at the end became a little disappointing for me, not because of any letdown from a bad experience. It just seemed to be anticlimactic based on the level of connection you and I had shared.
Yeah, that heart connection was becoming so strong and so satisfying for both of us. We were having a lot of sexual activity, but it wasn't the pinnacle. Our sexual expression became the overflow of the emotional and spiritual connection that we were experiencing together.
Right. And at this point, it would be very fair to say that we were having these sexual expressions pretty much every day.
Yeah, every day, which is really cool because, like I said in the earlier episode, I was really dreading sex with you.
Yes.
Before discovery. And to wake up every morning looking forward to it, wow, that was a huge change.
And many of these sexual expressions would last 1 to 2 hours. And if you remember from me telling my story, I expressed that I was giving up on being sexual with you because it was just too hard.
Right. There was too much effort to be put into it. Plus, you couldn't hold out very long.
Right.
And so those marathon sessions is what we call them.
Yep.
They just showed us a new dimension of what it meant to be intimate. But those high intense emotional experiences, on a daily basis. They did come to an end.
I think of it more like a really big wave, because we had a wave in the very beginning.
And then the tide went out.
Yeah, right. The tide went out. And then we rode another wave, and then the tide went out. But then we rode this big, big wave that was tsunami-like, and it was flooding our marriage and our life and gave us so many wonderful memories. But like all waves, even the big ones, eventually it comes to an end. And that's where it moves us into the period of time that brings us really more into currently where we are, where we're having sexual expressions based on an even-keeled relationship and expressing our sexuality just kind of in an everyday way. I would even use the word normal.
Cody Fingers normal.
Yes.
Right? Because what is normal after sexual betrayal?
So let's take a few minutes here and unpack that.
Well, normal is now we're not focused every single day on what happened, and we're living our life more in a way that we're working and we have the grandkids often, and we are interacting with other people, and we're going to church and getting involved again, you know, just living life again.
That's right.
And so we have to weave sex into our everyday activities now. In fact, nowadays, we have learned to schedule our sexual encounters.
What did you just say? Did you really just say that to our listeners?
Yes, they're on the calendar now. Because life is busy, right? And
yes,
that spontaneity that used to be so easy when you're young, you know, it's not so easy anymore, especially after the traumatic events that we've been through.
So I just wanted to make a parenthetical statement. Emily and I are in our mid-50s now. And so because of our age, physically things have changed.
Right.
And like you're saying, it's not just as simple as the spontaneous event that just hits us. And we're ready to go at it.
Right. Which, I mean, still happens occasionally, but it's not the norm anymore. And so we are really just trying to now figure out what it's going to look like for the rest of our lives. And I think we're both pretty happy with the way that it's going, because there's no pressure. There's no expectations that can be dashed anymore.
Right.
We're so comfortable with each other now. We're so open and honest and vulnerable with each other that that connection, that intimacy, leaves us feeling so satisfied. Our sexual expression may not be as frequent anymore. It's just the icing on the cake now.
Yes, it certainly is. One thing I wanted to add about scheduling sex is it gives us the opportunity to have a conversation about it ahead of time, where if I'm being present and if I'm anticipating your needs, I ask you, okay, we have a date on the calendar. How would you like to see that day go?
That's a good point. You said day, because it's not just a couple of hours at night before bed.
That's right.
It starts during the day, or even the previous day or the previous days leading up to it, right?
Right. And so when we do put that on our calendar, we make it a priority. But there's one more aspect of being sexual in recovery that I did want to touch on.
Okay.
Everything that we've been talking about as far as our progression has been with relation to our marital recovery, how we're relating to each other sexually now through this period of time. But because I am a recovering sex addict, there's also a component of this new intimacy in recovery. And I'll just say it this way, healthy sexuality is necessary for a complete sexual addiction recovery. There's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's one of the older ones, that says, just put the plug in the jug.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very true for a substance-based addiction, where basically you have to stop doing that.
Right. But in marriage, you don't have to just stop having sex with your spouse.
Maybe for a period of time, in order to get healthy again and regain the proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say from what I have learned, it is absolutely the completion of a healthy recovery from an addiction point of view to have a healthy sexual relationship with one person. And you and I would say exclusively your spouse that you love, cherish, and choose to stay with for the rest of your life.
Yes, you don't have to have sex to live, but it is part of a healthy marriage.
So, Emily, as you were just saying, you can be in a marriage without sexuality. But you do that for too long and you start to enter into this roommate transactional kind of relationship. Is it true that you can live that way? Absolutely. And we know of couples that have stayed married after something like this, but are choosing not to be sexual. But is that really what they want ultimately? We're just coming from the point of view that with a good, healthy recovery, you can have that back again. Because why be married if you're just going to live like roommates?
I didn't sign up for that in the very beginning when we got married. So it's a part of our marriage that I eventually did want to re-engage with. But I had to feel safe in order to do that. And I had to start trusting you before I could do that. And you had to start being trustworthy.
Yes.
You had to start showing me your track record of recovery. When all those things are in place, I think it's a natural progression then to want to connect sexually.
I think so too.
So I'm really glad we did that.
Amen. So here's our word for the day. Emily, what do you have for us?
Okay, our word comes from Isaiah 43, and it's verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Emily, I really love the way that this verse reads. So here is the hope for today. This is a present active tense that God is speaking in. It's already happening, and it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
What he's asking us to do is to forget the things of the past and take a step into the future. He says, see, I'm already doing it. Will you join me?
Yeah.
And he says, what I want you to see is that I'm already making new pathways into the wasteland and the wilderness that was created by this terrible situation. It's worth it to take those steps in faith so that he can give you a better future.
Yes, I'm so grateful that he always makes a way where it seems like there's no way. And we can screw things up royally, but he can still make them new. God is amazing.
Yes, amen. He is amazing. Emily, and on that note, would you close us in prayer for this show?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, you are just so amazing. And we are just so grateful that you have a way for us to overcome any of the worst in our marriage, whether from outside forces or from our own sin. Father, you are the one who makes it new. All we have to do is surrender. And God, that's not real easy sometimes. Surrendering to you and to each other on a daily basis is what brings life. It's what brings healing. It's what brings peace and joy. And Father, you have given each of us that opportunity to come to you, to repent, to surrender, and to accept your way, Lord, which is the way that makes life worth living. So thank you, Father, and I pray for all of those listening that you would give them a seed of hope in their life. If they're going through betrayal, addiction, disappointment in marriage, Father, I just pray that you would show them that there is a way, and that path is through surrender. Thank you for the grace that you give each of us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. So, loved ones, if you're contemplating and re-engaging in sex with your spouse after sexual betrayal, or already on this bumpy road and are looking for some hope and maybe some ways to move forward in this challenging arena, let us help you along the way. Book a coaching call with us at coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com.
Yes, and if you're not getting our weekly newsletter yet, where we share more personal stories and encouragement for your relationship with your spouse and with God, sign up at insider.beyondbrokenvows.com.
Emily, do you have any wrap-up comments for us today?
You know what? I do. I just wanted to say that now that we've shared our journey from sexual brokenness to true sexual intimacy, next week, we're going to dive into how we were able to get to a place where we experience sexual intimacy that is better than ever.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed,
hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who is going through a similar situation and needs to know that they're not alone. One of the best ways that you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.